You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With Sixth Sense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. Visit sixthsense.com to learn why enterprises choose them.
Hello, my name is Anna Bellick, and I am the Director of Thought Leadership at Sysdig, a cloud and container security company. I was convinced when I was a kid that I wanted to be a mathematician. And now that I'm an adult, I think you should be highly suspicious of kids that tell you they want to be mathematicians or brain surgeons or software engineers, because kids don't want to do that. Kids want to be dinosaurs and firefighters and candy store owners. And so the ones that say they want to be mathematicians are coached. I was coached by my nerdy parents, and I was convinced I wanted to be a mathematician. So I kind of followed it through because it wasn't bad, right? You know, I enjoyed the classes. I enjoyed activities that involved math and science and discovering sort of the world in this way. But the moment when I really had to think about it was when I actually was choosing a major for college. And I really wanted to study psychology, as it turned out. But basically, I decided to study physics instead. And the logic there was that, well, by this point, I realized that math is a little too abstract for me, and I would like something a little more tangible and practical. And so physics was the choice, because I figured that psychology was not going to be a good career trajectory in terms of being employable. So I was like, well, let's just do the physics thing. So physics is hard, as it turns out. And actually, I knew this going in, and I told myself the story that even if I hated physics and it wasn't the right choice, that if I could do physics, then I could do anything. So I actually discovered probably by junior year that I didn't really like physics all that much. Not because it's not beautiful and amazing and fantastic, but because I didn't really see myself enjoying that long-term as a career, or honestly, the classes were hard and painful. So I suffered through, and I graduated, and I finished my bachelor's degree, and I decided I would go to graduate school. And as I was deciding that, it occurred to me that actually physics was still a little abstract for me. So I majored in material science and engineering for my graduate degree, thinking that I would keep creeping toward greater and greater applied sciences and pragmatism, and maybe I would find my center eventually. After 6 years of PhDing, I realized that even in a really interesting field like solar energy, there's a lot of just doing the same thing every day. Like, you perform the same experiment every day in the lab, and it's a little bit soul-crushing, actually. if you're not deeply passionate about the process, it mostly just hurts after a while. So I just decided I wasn't really cut out to be a professor or an academic of any kind, and that I would have to do something else. And I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate that it took me until I was 28 to figure that out, but that's how long it took. I would have probably been a lot more miserable if I didn't have the type of personality that enjoys challenges. So I kind of feel like I made it through all of that fairly difficult, I would say, schooling. Not because I loved physics or I needed to be a mathematician or any of that, but because I just enjoyed being challenged, and it almost didn't matter on what front. For a brief period, I worked for a company that was doing actually solar-related things, but more on the consulting and finance side, which was kind of interesting. That didn't last, so I decided to move on. And what happened was fairly unlikely, and that I got a call back from Gartner, which is large analyst firm that does all kinds of information technology and now actually broader research and advisory. And I actually didn't know what they were. I'd heard about them from somebody in my network and they were like, just apply. They hire smart people. So I did. And they interviewed me, which is wild because normally they interview people that are very, very senior and have had a long and illustrious IT career. And I was not that. I was ultimately there for 6 years, which was fantastic. It's an incredibly cool job. In some sense, it's fairly similar to academia in that your mission is to help people. Like, you're supposed to educate people on what the best way to do certain things is. And you'll learn that by talking to the best in the industry. You talk to startup companies, to established companies, you talk to end users who are accomplishing all kinds of fantastic technical things or going through fantastic technical struggles. And you aggregate all the information into what Gartner and many others call thought leadership, which is basically a view of how the world should be or what the best way to do things ought to be. The only downside to Gartner is that people like me who have little patience tend to get bored quickly. I worked for two separate teams. The first team I worked on was focused on infrastructure agility. So DevOps, DevSecOps, containers, Kubernetes. And the second team I worked on was focused on security. But after 3 years of each, I just felt this itch to actually get into what I call the real world. Because as awesome as Gartner is for the breadth of experience that you get to see, you are still very much removed, you're abstracted from the reality of it all. You're not in it, you're just kind of watching it from a distance, and I wanted to be in it. So basically took the chance and I went to a company that does both security and containers, and that's how I ended up at Sysdig. I have a pretty unusual role, actually. I spend a lot of time with marketing and product. My primary mission is actually to create and deliver content. So I write blogs, I create white papers, I speak at conferences or on podcasts. I work for a vendor, obviously, but my job isn't to market the vendor. It's to try to explain what's going on in the industry, how it's evolving, what are people struggling with, and what are kind of the strategies they can employ to succeed at overcoming those challenges, and hopefully how ultimately our product and company can help them. It's particularly interesting because the market is very rapidly evolving. This is a cloud security market specifically. And so the things that were needed yesterday, right, or things that were considered normal yesterday may be completely different next week. So that's the most exciting part. Like, my job is just to try to keep up and to help both my company create a great product and also to help the potential users of our product or just folks who are, you know, stumbling upon our blogs to understand what's going on and do their best. Don't limit yourself and your career opportunities by focusing too much on things like whatever degree you got or whatever your current title is, or even what industry you're in, right? So I was a physicist, essentially, that was going to be a professor. And I just decided one day that I didn't feel like it anymore. And now I'm a cybersecurity expert, right? So if you got a degree in something that maybe is not as easy to employ, or maybe you just decided you don't like it anymore, don't worry about that. Think about what skills you actually have and what skills you might need to succeed in some other role that isn't the one you're in right now. And the second piece is related, but it's about figuring out which skills you actually could acquire or might be missing or could improve that would make you into, I'm going to say, unicorn, even though it's a little cliche. You could be a really great engineer and you can make a lot of money and you can be super successful. But if you're a great engineer and a great communicator, that is invaluable. Like, those people are super rare. And if you can teach yourself as a great engineer to be a great communicator, you become that much more valuable to literally anybody, actually, to the industry. I mean, ultimately, I think any role you have along the way is almost more important who you meet and how you make an impression on those people than what you actually did there. And so what happens is, once you have met a bunch of people that you enjoyed working with, you never really want to let them go. So I hope maybe that the most impactful thing about me in any company is that people want to work with me even after I've left.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustai.